Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Betrayed by Blood, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1. The Will.
The sky wept the day we buried the old bastard. Rain came down like God himself was pissing on the grave, turning the dirt to mud, the mud to sludge. I stood there, hands shoved deep into the pockets of my tailored black suit, watching the pallbearers lower the coffin into the ground. Malcolm fucking Blackthorne. Even in death, his name glared up at me from the headstone, polished and smug. Beloved father. What a joke. The man was a rabid dog with a bank account, and the only thing he loved more than money was watching his son squirm. Ethan stood beside me, shoulders hunched, face pale under the bruise-colored clouds. He'd always been softer. The kind of idiot who cried at funerals, even for monsters. His hands shook as he gripped a crumpled handkerchief, his knuckles white as bone. "He's really gone," he muttered, like he was trying to convince himself. I didn't answer. Let him drown in his delusions. Grief was for the weak, and weakness was a luxury the Blackthorns couldn't afford. The wake was held at the estate, that sprawling Gothic crypt of a mansion where we'd both learned to lie before we could walk. The air stank of bourbon and hypocrisy, packed with mourners who'd sooner spit on Dad's corpse than mourn him. I nursed a drink by the fireplace, watching the vultures circle. Senators, mob associates, ex-wives, all here to claw at the carcass of Malcolm's empire. Ethan cornered me by the grandfather clock, his breath sour with whiskey. "You did this," he hissed, his voice low and frayed. "You killed him." I smirked, swirling the ice in my glass. "Prove it." He lunged, but I caught his wrist, twisting it until he gasped. "Careful, little brother," I murmured, leaning in so close I could smell the fear on him. "You'll embarrass yourself." He jerked free, eyes blazing. "I'll find out what you did. I'll ruin you." I laughed. "You couldn't ruin a whore's makeup, Ethan." The will reading was at midnight, because of course the old man had to be dramatic to the end. Voss, Dad's cadaver of a lawyer, met us in the study, the same room where Malcolm had once backhanded me for crying when I was 7. The walls were lined with taxidermy, stags, wolves, a fucking bear. Trophies, he called them. Proof that he could break anything. Ethan slumped into Dad's leather chair, still shaking, while I leaned against the mantel, playing calm. Voss unsealed the envelope with trembling hands, his voice like gravel. "To my sons. I leave my entire estate, divided equally, on the condition that you uphold the Blackthorn name with loyalty. Should either of you betray the other, all assets will be forfeited to the family trust." Silence. Then Ethan slammed his fist on the desk. "Bullshit." Spittle flew from his lips. "Equal? After everything? After her. Her. Clara. His wife. The one I'd fucked in this very room 6 months ago, her nails digging into Dad's oak desk while Ethan was in Tokyo closing a deal he'd begged me to hand him. She tasted like champagne and vengeance. I kept my face still. "You're hysterical." He lunged again, this time flipping the desk. Decanters shattered, glass exploding like glitter. "You think I don't know?" he roared. "You've been in Voss's pocket for years. You think I didn't see you two at the plaza last week? You think I'm stupid?" I straightened my tie. "Yes." Voss backed toward the door, clutching the will like a prayer book. "Gentlemen, please." Ethan grabbed a letter opener, jabbing it at me. "I'll gut you, Adrian. I'll hang your corpse from the fucking gates." I stepped closer, until the blade pressed against my ribs. "Do it," I whispered. "Or are you still Daddy's good little bitch?" He froze, his breath ragged. I saw it then, the flicker of doubt. The same look he'd had when we were kids, when I'd convinced him to push me down the stairs so Dad would blame him. Some people never learn. I slapped the opener from his hand and leaned in, my lips grazing his ear. "You want to play games, Ethan? Fine. But remember, I cheat." Later, I found Voss in the garage, sweating into his cheap suit. "He's getting close," the lawyer stammered, lighting a cigarette with shaking hands. "If he finds the offshore accounts, the dummy corporations." I slammed him against the wall, my hand around his throat. "Then you'll make sure he doesn't," I snarled. "Or I'll send those photos of you and the underage made to every news outlet in the city. You'll die in prison, you pathetic fuck." He gagged, nodding frantically. I released him, wiping my hand on my coat. "The codicil," I said. "Is it ready?" He pulled a folded paper from his breast pocket. "Amendment to the last will and testament of Malcolm Blackthorne. In the event of Ethan's disqualification, 100% of assets to Adrian." I tucked it into my jacket. "Burn the drafts. And Voss." I smiled. "If you breathe a word of this to Ethan, I'll cut out your tongue and feed it to that bear in the study." I found Clara in our old bedroom, the one with the silk sheets and the view of the gardens. She was drunk, her dress half unzipped, smearing lipstick on a wine glass. "You're a monster," she slurred as I pushed her onto the bed. I yanked her hair, forcing her to look at me. "And you're a traitorous cunt. Did you really think Ethan would leave his wife for you?" She laughed, bitter and broken. "He loves me." I shoved her down, my hands rough on her thighs. "He loves winning," I growled. "And when he realizes you've been leaking his emails to me, he'll slit your throat." She clawed at my back, but I didn't stop. Hate and lust tasted the same on her tongue. Afterward, I left her crying on the floor, her mascara bleeding down her cheeks like ink. By dawn, the storm had passed. I stood on the balcony, watching the sun rise over the estate. My estate now, once the pieces fell. Ethan thought he could outplay me? That he could claw his way out of the grave Dad dug for us? Fool. I pulled out my phone and dialed a number I'd memorized years ago. "The job's yours," I said. "Make it look like an accident." Somewhere downtown, a hired killer nodded. Ethan's plane to Zurich would crash in the Alps, and I'd be there to weep at his funeral.
Chapter 2. The First Cut.
The whiskey burned like acid in my throat, but I kept drinking. Fuck sobriety. Fuck dignity. The world was a rotting carcass, and Adrian was the vulture picking it clean. I sat in my car outside Voss's office, engine off, rain slapping the windshield like it was trying to wake me the fuck up. Equal shares. That lying sack of shit. I'd known Adrian was a snake since we were kids, but forging Dad's will? Even I didn't think he'd sink that low. I pulled out my phone, thumb hovering over Lila's number. Her voice last night had been a razor blade wrapped in silk. "He's hiding something, Ethan. I can feel it." She'd been Adrian's mistress for 3 months, my informant for 2. The things she'd told me, the secrets she'd spilled between those silk sheets. Christ, I should have gutted him then. But patience was a knife and I wanted to twist it slow. The PI's office was in a shithole above a pawn shop, the stairs creaking like old bones. "Marty Kovacs," the sign read. "Ex-cop, ex-husband, ex-human." The guy smelled like cigars and regret. "Blackthorne," he grunted, not looking up from his desk littered with bourbon bottles and surveillance photos. "You look like hell. I pay you to stalk my brother, not critique my skincare routine." I tossed a folder on his desk. Adrian's schedule, his mistress's addresses, the offshore accounts I'd spent months untangling. He met Voss again. "Where?" Marty lit a cigarette, the smoke curling around his yellowed teeth. "The Plaza. Suite 402. 2 hours, lots of paperwork." He slid a photo across the desk. Adrian and Voss in the hotel lobby, faces tight, a briefcase handcuffed to Voss's wrist. I stared at it. "What's in the case?" "Dunno. But your brother's been real chatty with some hacker downtown. Calls heard the witch." He smirked. "Cost you extra." I threw a stack of hundreds at him. "Burn him. Burn everything." That night, I broke into Adrian's penthouse. His security system was a joke. Lila had given me the codes along with the passcode to his safe. "He uses your birthday," she'd laughed, her lips grazing my ear. "Sentimental prick." The place reeked of him, expensive cologne and arrogance. I bypassed the cameras, gloved hands steady. The safe was behind a Klimt painting, a twisted golden woman staring me down. 11-09. My birthday. The door clicked open. Inside, stacks of cash, a pearl-handled revolver, and a document stamped confidential. "Amendment to the last will and testament of Malcolm Blackthorne. 70% to Adrian. 30% to Ethan." The paper crumpled in my fist. "You thieving bastard." I'd known, but seeing it, fuck. Rage blurred my vision. I snapped photos, the flash catching the tears I refused to shed. Then I saw it. A USB drive labeled witch. The witch's lair was a basement in Chinatown, neon lights bleeding through barred windows. She was younger than I expected, pierced lips, dyed black hair, fingers flying over a keyboard. "Ethan Blackthorne," she purred. "Adrian's gonna skin you alive. I tossed the drive on her desk. Decrypt it. Now. She plugged it in, the screen flooding with files. Offshore accounts. Shell companies. Dad's medical records. Wait. I leaned in. Open that. A video file. Dated the night before Dad's heart attack. Security footage. Dad's study. Adrian pouring a drink, hand steady. Dad collapsing, clutching his chest. Adrian standing there. Watching. 47 seconds. 47 seconds of my brother letting our father die. The witch whistled. You're fucked, rich boy. I pulled the revolver from my coat. Copy everything. Send it to the board. The feds. The press? She froze. Or what? I cocked the hammer. Or I paint the walls with your brains? Lila was waiting in my bed when I got home, naked and furious. He knows, she hissed. He knows I'm helping you. I didn't answer. Just pushed her against the wall, my hands rough on her hips. She bit my lip, drawing blood. You're obsessed, she spat. I'm winning. I dragged her to the bed, fucking her like it was a war, every thrust a bullet aimed at Adrian. She screamed, nails raking my back. After, she lit a cigarette, her hands shaking. He's gonna kill you? I laughed. He'll try. The email went out at dawn. By noon, the board was screeching. The SEC froze Adrian's assets. CNN ran the headline, Blackthorn Empire crumbles, eldest son accused of forgery murder. My phone rang. A known number. I answered. You little shit, Adrian snarled. You're dead. You hear me? Dead. I smiled. Come and try, brother.
Chapter 3. Blood and Bourbon.
The world burned, and I fucking loved the smell of it. Ethan's little stunt had cost me $50 million in frozen assets, two mistresses singing to the feds, and a boardroom full of spineless suits scrambling like roaches. But he'd forgotten one thing. The Blackthorn name wasn't built on money. It was built on fear. And fear didn't freeze. Fear bled. I found him at Dad's old speakeasy, the one beneath the abandoned theater on 53rd. The place reeked of mildew and memories. The same sticky floors where Malcolm had taught me to break fingers at age 12. Ethan sat alone at the bar, nursing a whiskey, his reflection warped in the cracked mirror. Cocky little shit. Thought he'd won. You look like hell, I said, sliding onto the stool beside him. He didn't flinch. You look like a corpse. SEC's got you by the balls, huh? I signaled the barkeep, a scarred relic named Finn who'd buried bodies for Dad. McAllen 25. Neat. I turned to Ethan, smiling. You really think a few headlines scare me? I own the judges. The juries. The goddamn prisons. He laughed, hollow and raw. Not anymore. The video's everywhere, Adrian. You let him die. I sipped the scotch, letting it burn. He was weak. Just like you. Ethan's fist connected with my jaw. Pain exploded, bright and beautiful. I spat blood on the floor, grinning. That all you've got? He came at me again, but I ducked, driving my elbow into his ribs. He crumpled against the bar, gasping. I grabbed his hair, slamming his face into the counter. Once. Twice. Teeth clattered to the floor. You've always been weak, I hissed, dragging him upright. Remember when you begged me to take the blame for breaking Mom's vase? You cried for hours. He lunged, a broken bottle in his hand. The glass bit into my shoulder, hot and sharp. I barely felt it. You killed her too, he snarled. All those accidents, the car crash, the fire, you think I don't know? I froze. Mom. Her face flashed in my mind, soft, smiling gone. Ethan saw the crack and swung again. The bottle grazed my throat. Finn coughed. Take it outside, boys. I ain't scrubbing brains off the walls. I drove us to the docks, Ethan hogtied in the trunk, his muffled screams music to my ears. The warehouse was how Dad left it. Chains on the walls, a drain in the floor, the sweet stench of gasoline and decay. I dumped him on the concrete, ripping the duct tape off his mouth. Fuck you, he rasped, blood bubbling on his lips. I backhanded him. You're gonna confess. Retract the video. Tell the world you lied. He laughed. Or what? You'll kill me? Do it. I'll die knowing I broke you. I crouched, gripping his chin. No, Ethan. You'll die begging. I texted the witch. Bring her. She arrived an hour later, Lila shoved ahead of her, a hood over her head. The witch looked uneasy, her neon nails tapping a Glock. This ain't part of the deal, Blackthorn. Deals change. I yanked off Lila's hood. Her mascara was smeared, lips trembling. Ethan. He thrashed against the chains. You son of a bitch. I backhanded Lila, sending her crashing into a stack of crates. Confess, Ethan. or I carve her apart piece by piece. Lila sobbed. Don't. Ethan's eyes met mine, raw hate. I'll kill you. I'll butcher you. I pulled out my knife, Dad's old switchblade, the one I'd used to slit his throat. Start with her fingers? Or her tongue? Lila screamed as I grabbed her hand, pinning it to the floor. Ethan roared, chains rattling. Stop. I paused, the blade hovering over her pinky. Confess. He sagged, defeated. I'll do it. I tossed him a phone. Live stream. Now. The video went viral in minutes. Ethan Blackthorne admits to fabricating evidence against brother. Lies, of course, but the sheep ate it up. I untied Lila, stroking her hair. You did well. She flinched. You're a monster. I kissed her hard. You love it. The witch cleared her throat. My payment. I shot her in the knee. She collapsed, howling. Payment's not getting fed to the crabs. I tossed her the Glock. Run. She crawled out, blood trailing behind her. Ethan glared from the floor, his face a ruined mess. This isn't over. I poured bourbon over his wounds, laughing as he screamed. Oh, it's just beginning. I left him there, chained in the dark, Lila's whimpers echoing down the hall.
Chapter 4. The Whores.
Pain is a language I've become fluent in. It's in the jagged ache of my ribs, the pulsing throb of my shattered knuckles, the metallic tang of blood that never quite leaves my tongue. Adrian left me chained in that warehouse for 3 days. 3 days of darkness, of rats gnawing at my boots, of my own piss soaking through my pants. But I didn't break. Blackthorns don't break, we burn. The door creaked open on the fourth night, a sliver of moonlight cutting through the gloom. Lila stood there, backlit like a fallen angel, a key glinting in her hand. You look like shit, she said, her voice flat. I laughed, the sound echo. You miss me, baby? She knelt, her perfume clashing with the rot. Adrian's hosting a party tonight with the board and the press. He's celebrating. Her fingers brushed my wrist, unlocking the cuffs. You've got 2 hours before he notices I'm gone. I grabbed her throat, not hard enough to hurt, just enough to remind her. Why help me? Her eyes flickered. He's going to kill me, Ethan. He knows I tipped you off about the will. I released her, standing on legs that shook. Where's the witch? Gone. Left town after Adrian shot her. But she gave me something before she ran. Lila pulled a USB from her bra. Adrian's blackmail files, judges, senators. The president. I pocketed it. And what do you want? She pressed against me, her lips grazing my ear. I want to watch you ruin him. Marty's safe house stank of stale pizza and paranoia. The PI was half drunk, a revolver on the table, surveillance photos of Adrian's mansion plastered across the walls. You're a dead man walking. He slurred as I stormed in. I tossed the USB at him. I need copies. Sent to every news outlet, every fucking inbox in the country. He plugged it in, the screen lighting up with secrets. Christ. This'll start a war. Good. I stripped off my ruined shirt, scrubbing dried blood from my chest. What else you got? Marty grinned, toothy and vile. Adrian's got a new toy. Some tech mogul's wife, Naomi Voss. He's banging her in the penthouse suite at the Monarch Hotel. Tonight. Lila stiffened. Voss? As in Senator Voss? The same. Marty zoomed in on a photo. Adrian and a brunette in a red dress, her laugh frozen midair. Hubby's got a fetish for underage girls. Adrian's been supplying them. I clenched my fist. Get me in that hotel. The Monarch was a glittering tomb of marble and lies. I wore a stolen waiter's uniform, a silenced pistol strapped to my ankle. Lila clung to my arm, her dress slit to the hip, a wire hidden in her clutch. Remember, I muttered, distract him. I'll handle the rest. She smirked. Try not to get hard when I suck his dick. The penthouse was all glass and arrogance. Adrian held court by the window, Naomi Voss on his lap, her fingers tangled in his hair. Board members circled like hyenas, laughing at jokes that stank of blood money. Lila sauntered in, hips swaying. Miss me, darling? Adrian's smile died. You're supposed to be in Malibu? She straddled him, kissing him deep. I got bored. I slipped into the bedroom, the senator's laptop glowing on the nightstand. Bingo. Files spilled across the screen. Bank transfers, encrypted emails, a video titled Voss_01.mov. I clicked it. A girl, no older than 16, sobbing as Senator Voss unbuckled his belt. Bile rose in my throat. I copied everything, then planted a virus that'd make the Pentagon blush. A hand grabbed my hair, yanking me backward. Ethan. Adrian's breath was whiskey and hate. You just don't know when to die. We crashed through the glass balcony door, his fists pounding my ribs. The city sprawled below us, a thousand lights like staring eyes. "You're pathetic," he snarled, kneeing my gut. "You think exposing Voss hurts me? I'll replace him by dawn." I headbutt him, blood spraying. "And Naomi? You think she'll stay quiet when she sees what her husband's done?" He froze. "You wouldn't?" I grinned, tasting copper. "Watch me." A gunshot cracked. Lila stood in the doorway, smoke curling from her pistol. Adrian collapsed, clutching his shoulder. "Run," she hissed at me. We fled down the fire escape, screams erupting above. In the alley, I pinned her against the wall. "You shot him." She kissed me, fierce and feral. "I told you I want him ruined." I shoved her hand down my pants, her fingers rough, desperate. We fucked there in the filth and fury, her back scraping brick, my teeth on her throat. After she lit a cigarette. "The files go public at midnight?" I stared up at the hotel, flames licking the penthouse. "Burn it all."
Chapter 5, The Fire.
The city burned. Not metaphorically. Not poetically. Literally. Flames chewed through the Monarch Hotel skeleton, smoke choking the skyline, sirens wailing like mourners. I watched from the roof of a parking garage, Lila's body pressed against mine, her breath hot on my neck. "You did this," she whispered, half accusation, half praise. I didn't answer. The USB in my pocket felt heavier than a corpse. Senator Voss's sins were already trending, hashtag pedophile politician, hashtag blackthorn bastards, the world vomiting its outrage online. But the fire? That was mine. My message to Adrian: "You take from me, I take everything." My phone buzzed. A text from an unknown number: "Check your garage." Cold slithered down my spine. The garage was a tomb. My vintage car collection, 12 mint condition relics, worth $30 million on a bad day, sat under dust covers, silent and sleek. Or they had. Now the air reeked of gasoline and spite. Adrian leaned against my 67 Shelby Cobra, a Molotov cocktail dangling from his fingers. His shoulder was bandaged where Lila had shot him, his smile sharp enough to flay skin. "You shouldn't have touched Naomi," he said. I drew my pistol. "Get away from my cars." He laughed, low and venomous. "Your cars? Your cars?" He kicked the Shelby's tire. "You bought this with Dad's money. Stole it, really? Like you stole Clara. Like you stole Lila." I cocked the hammer. "Last warning." He struck a match. "You don't get to win, Ethan. You're a thief. A rat gnawing at the edges of my kingdom." The flame kissed the Molotov's rag. I fired. He threw. The bottle shattered against the Ferrari's windshield. Fire exploded, liquid rage devouring leather, steel, history. "No." I lunged, but Adrian tackled me, his hands around my throat. "Watch," he hissed, forcing my face toward the blaze. "Watch your childhood burn." The Bugatti went next, then the Aston Martin, flames dancing like demons. I remembered Dad teaching me to drive stick in that Aston, his whiskey breath in my ear, "Faster, boy. Fear is for pedestrians." Adrian's thumbs pressed into my windpipe. "You're nothing without him. Without me." I headbutt him, rolled and grabbed a tire iron. Swing. Crack. His ribs gave way. He stumbled, blood flecking his teeth. "You're right," I spat. "I'm nothing like you." I swung again. He caught the iron, twisted, and slammed me into the burning Ferrari. Heat seared my back, my shirt melting into flesh. I screamed. He leaned in, sweat and blood dripping onto my face. "You wanna play with fire, little brother? Let's play." He dragged me through the inferno, my skin blistering, and threw me into the trunk of the Shelby. The lid slammed. Darkness. I don't know how long I screamed. Hours? Days. The trunk was an oven, the air thick with the stench of my own cooking flesh. I clawed at the lock, broke nails, tore skin. Then voices. Muffled. The trunk flew open. Cold air slapped my face. Lila stood there, a crowbar in one hand, a gas can in the other. "You owe me a new dress." She drove us to the docks, my burns screaming with every pothole. "Adrian's cleaning house," she said. "Fired the board, liquidated assets. He's moving something big tonight. A container ship. The Midnight Queen." I gritted my teeth as she poured vodka over my wounds. "What's on it?"
"Everything.
Gosh,
Bart.
His fucking soul, probably." I grabbed her wrist. "We take it?" She smirked. "We die trying." The Midnight Queen loomed like a steel god, cranes loading crates under floodlights. Adrian's men patrolled the dock, ex-military, ex-cons, ex-human. Lila and I slithered through shadows in black gear, faces smeared with grease. "You're insane," she muttered as we crouched behind a pallet of rusted chains. "You're here," I said. "Yeah, well, insanity's contagious." We split up. She headed for the control tower, I for the ship's hold. The cargo was a museum of sin. Gold bars stamped with cartel logos. Paintings ripped from European galleries. A crate of assault rifles. And in the center, a glass coffin. That, or his body at least. Preserved, waxen, dressed in his favorite pinstripe suit. Adrian's sick shrine. A voice behind me, "He's prettier dead, isn't he?" Adrian leaned against the door, a shotgun loose in his hands. I had him embalmed. Figured he'd want a front row seat to me killing you. I stepped toward the coffin. "You're obsessed." He fired. Buckshot tore into my thigh. I collapsed, blood pooling. "Obsessed?" He stalked closer. "I'm winning. Something you'll never do." I gripped the coffin's edge, hauling myself up. "You're just like him. A hollow fucking suit." He swung the shotgun. I ducked, grabbed a gold bar, and smashed his knee. He roared. We fell, grappling, biting animal. The coffin shattered. Dad's corpse tumbled out, stiff fingers brushing my face. Adrian pinned me, hands on my throat. "You lose? You always lose." I spat blood in his eyes. "Fuck. You." The ship's horn blared. Lights flashed. Lila's voice crackled over the PA, "Bombs armed. 60 seconds, boys. Tick fucking talk." Adrian froze. "You're bluffing." I grinned. "Am I?" We ran. Or limped, really, him dragging his shattered knee, me bleeding from a dozen wounds. The deck was chaos, crewmen diving overboard, flames licking the containers. Lila waited at the gangplank, detonator in hand. "Ethan. Now." Adrian grabbed my arm. "You'll die too." I yanked free. "Worth it?" The explosion tore the night apart.
Chapter 6, The Bastard.
The river saved me. Cold, black, and merciless, it swallowed the flames, the screams, the midnight queen's dying roar. I surfaced gasping, salt water stinging the shotgun wounds in my thigh, my brother's blood still crusted under my nails. The docks burned behind me, a funeral pyre for Dad's corpse and half my fortune. Ethan. His name was a curse, a prayer, a poison. I'd underestimated him again. Let sentiment cloud my judgment when I should have put a bullet in his skull years ago. But sentiment died tonight. I dragged myself onto a fishing boat, its hull slimy with algae. The owner, a toothless drunk snoring below deck, didn't hear me steal his radio, his vodka, his .38 revolver. "Mayday," I croaked, tuning to the Coast Guard frequency. "This is Adrian Blackthorne. Send extraction to." Static. Then a voice, "Adrian. Adrian, Adrian, Adrian. Ethan." I froze. "You're alive. Good. I want you to see what comes next." Gunfire erupted through the speaker. Screams. Lila's voice, "Ethan, don't." A wet crunch. Silence. The radio slipped from my hand.
Lila fought like a wildcat when I dragged her into the warehouse. "You're insane," she screamed, clawing at my grip. "I saved your life." I threw her into a chair, zip-tying her wrists. "And who saved yours when the feds were closing in? When your pimp was selling you to that senator?" She spat in my face. "Fuck you." I backhanded her. "You've been playing both sides, sweetheart. Adrian's texts on your burner phone? The I miss you bullshit?" Her eyes flickered. "You went through my things?" I pulled out the phone, reading aloud, "Meet me at the pier. I'll forgive everything." I crouched, nose to nose with her. "You were gonna run back to him. Weren't you?" She laughed, cold and hollow. "He's better in bed." I gripped her throat. "Try again." She smirked. "He's got a vault. Offshore. Passcode's your mother's birthday." I tightened my fingers. "Liar." She gagged. "Check yourself." I released her, storming to the laptop Marty had stolen from Adrian's penthouse. The vault's login screen glared back. "Enter passcode. 12 to 14. Mom's birthday. Access granted. $500 million. Untraceable." I turned to Lila. "Why tell me?" She rubbed her throat, smiling. "Because I want you to win."
The safe house reeked of betrayal. My men, those still breathing, huddled around a cracked table, nursing burns and bullet wounds. Finn, the barkeep, tossed me a bourbon. He took the vault. I drained the glass. "I know. And the girl." I lit a cigarette, watching the ember glow. "She's his problem now." The door burst open. A figure stumbled in, Marty, the PI, his face a pulp of bruises. Ethan's rallying the families. The five. The room went still. The five, the crime syndicate's dad had spent decades subduing. If Ethan united them. I stood. Where? Marty coughed blood. The old distillery. Midnight. I grabbed my coat. Burn it down.
The distillery was a cathedral of decay, its rusted vats looming like ancient gods. The Five's leaders sat around a makeshift table. Russian mob, Italian cartel, Yakuza, Irish muscle, a Colombian cocaine queen. Lila stood behind me, her nails digging into my shoulder. This is suicide. I slapped a stack of documents on the table. Adrian's empire. His routes. His buyers. Yours for the taking. The Russian, a slab of muscle named Gregor, flipped through the pages. And what you want in return? His head. The cocaine queen Sophia smirked. We take what we want. Why not yours instead? I nodded to Lila. She unzipped her dress, revealing a vest of siege four. Gasp. Chair scraped. You're mad. I pressed the detonator. I'm desperate. And desperate men make great partners?
The distillery was dark when I arrived, the stench of molasses and murder thick in the air. I crept through the shadows, Glock in hand, until I heard it, Ethan's voice, echoing off copper pipes. Allies now. We hit the docks, the banks, his home. I stepped into the light. You forgot the part where you die screaming. The Five's guns swung toward me. Ethan smiled. Right on time. Lila lunged, the C for vest flashing red. Game over, Adrian. I shot her first. The bullet tore through her eye. She collapsed, fingers still on the detonator. Chaos erupted.
Lila's body hit the floor, blood pooling like wine. The Five scattered, firing wildly. I tackled Adrian behind a vat, our fists and fury colliding. You killed her. I roared. He laughed, spitting blood. You'll thank me later. We rolled, crashing into a valve. Steam scalded my back. Adrian grabbed a broken pipe, jamming it toward my chest. I headbutted him, seized the pipe, and plunged it into his gut. He gasped, fingers slipping on the metal. You fucking. I twisted. This is for Mom. The distillery door exploded. SWAT. Flashes. Screams. Adrian grinned, crimson bubbling on his lips. You lose, brother. He yanked the pipe free and vanished into the steam.
Chapter 7. The Siege.
Lila's blood dried under my fingernails, crusted and flaking like old paint. I couldn't scrub it off. Couldn't stop scrubbing. The motel sink ran pink, the mirror reflecting a stranger. Sunken eyes, split lips, hands trembling like a fucking junkie. I'd buried her in a shallow grave by the river, no marker, no prayers. Just dirt. She'd have hated that. Adrian's voice haunted the static of the motel TV, his smirking face plastered over every news channel. Ethan Blackthorne remains at large, armed and dangerous. The screen cut to footage of the distillery inferno, SWAT swarming like ants. Authorities urge citizens to report any sightings. I shot the TV. Glass rained down, silence ringing louder than gunfire. Marty found me there, slumped against the blood-stained mattress, a bottle of Jack Daniels in one hand and Lila's burner phone in the other. Christ, he muttered, kicking aside a spent shell casing. You look like death's chew toy. I leveled my pistol at his gut. Why were you here? He tossed a manila envelope on the bed. Adrian's moving the last of his cash tonight. A convoy. 6 armored trucks, Route 9 through the canyon. He's got a new partner, some cartel psycho named Vega. I ripped open the envelope. Surveillance photos, blueprints, a map circled in red. And? Marty lit a cigarette, the tip glowing like a demon's eye. Vega's got a weakness. The sister. Dancer at the Red Orchid. Word is he burned the world for her. I stood, my bones creaking. Get me a car. He exhaled smoke. You'll get yourself killed. I grabbed his collar, the barrel of my gun kissing his chin. Get. A car. The Red Orchid stank of perfume and desperation. Neon lights throbbed red, casting the dancers in hellish silhouettes. Vega's sister was easy to spot, tall, all legs and defiance, her stage name Jade flashing in sequins. She moved like a knife, all edges, her eyes hollow as a doll's. I waited until her set ended, cornering her in the dressing room. Take off the wig, I said, blocking the door. She froze, a switchblade slipping into her hand. Who the fuck are you? I tossed a photo of Vega onto her vanity, him posing with Adrian, both grinning over a corpse. Your brother's new best friend. Her mask cracked. Get out. I stepped closer. He's gonna die tonight. Unless you help me. She slashed at me. I caught her wrist, twisting until the blade clattered to the floor. Fuck you. I shoved her against the mirror, her breath fogging the glass. Vega's convoy. Route 9. Tell me how to stop it. She spat in my face. Rot in hell. I unzipped my jeans. Your choice. Talk or I give the bouncers a show they'll never forget. Her eyes widened. You're insane. I gripped her throat. Route 9. She trembled. The third truck. Dika. The cash is in the ice cream van. Vega's idea. I released her. Smart girl. She sank to the floor, clutching her neck. He'll kill me. I tossed a wad of cash beside her. Run. The canyon cliffs loomed like jagged teeth, moonlight staining the asphalt silver. I'd rigged the bridge with seat 4, Marty's stolen semi-truck parked sideways to block the road. The convoy rounded the bend at midnight, headlights blazing. Adrian rode shotgun in the lead armored truck. Even from a distance, I could taste his arrogance. The first truck hit the spike strip. Tires exploded, metal screeching. Chaos erupted, guards spilling out, rifles raised. I detonated the seat 4. The bridge erupted, the middle truck flipping into the ravine. Gunfire echoed, bullets pinging off the semi-truck. I crouched behind the cab, reloading, my heartbeat a war drum. Adrian's voice cut through the chaos, amplified by a megaphone. Come out, Ethan. Let's talk. I peered over the hood. He stood atop an armored truck, Vega beside him, a hulking brute with a gold-plated AK. I'll make it quick. Adrian shouted. A bullet to the head. Better than you deserve. I stood, hands raised. How about a trade? Vega laughed. You got nothing, Puto? I pulled out Jade's sequin G-string, still warm from her skin. Your sister says hi. Vega's smile died. Where is she? I dropped it, crushing it under my boot. Gone. Unless you walk away. Adrian sighed. Enough. He shot Vega in the temple. The cartel men froze. Who's next? Adrian roared, swinging his rifle. I lunged for the ice cream van, bullets shredding the air. The driver was already dead, slumped over the wheel. I shoved him aside, flooring the gas. The van careened through the barricade, Adrian's shots pocking the metal. The canyon blurred, wind screaming through bullet holes. I ripped open the freezer, bundles of cash glittering like snow. A motorcycle roared behind me. Adrian. He pulled alongside, grinning like the devil. Hey, little brother. I swerved, crushing him against the cliffside. His bike sparked, fishtailing. He leaped onto the van, crawling toward the driver's window. I yanked the wheel, slamming him into a road sign. He held on, bloodied and laughing. You can't kill me. I grabbed a flare from the dash, lit it with my teeth and tossed it into the freezer. Watch me. The cash ignited. Flames licked my neck. I kicked the door open and jumped. The van exploded, Adrian's scream swallowed by fire. I woke in a ditch, the sky on fire, my leg bent the wrong way. The convoy was ash, the canyon silent. Adrian lay nearby, his face a charred mask, one eye milky white. He stirred, coughing up blood. I crawled toward him, a shard of glass in my hand. He laughed, wet and broken. Still here? I straddled him, the glass pressed to his throat. Say hello to Dad. A gun cocked. Move and I scatter his brains. Vega's sister stood above us, Jade's switchblade in one hand, my own pistol in the other. Adrian grinned. Told you, you lose? Jade's blade flashed.
Chapter 8, The Truth.
The blade kissed my throat, cold and unflinching. Jade's hand trembled, her breath ragged, eyes wild with grief and amphetamines. Adrian lay beneath me, his ruined face a grotesque mask of triumph, blood pooling in the crater where his cheek used to be. Do it, he gargled, teeth gleaming through torn flesh. Make us even. Jade pressed harder. Where is he? Where's my brother? I didn't blink. Dead. Adrian burned him alive in that van. Her scream echoed through the canyon, raw and primal. The knife slashed, not at me but at him. Adrian rolled, the blade sinking into dirt. He lunged, tackling her over the cliff's edge. I crawled to the brink, watching them fall, Jade's limbs flailing, Adrian's laugh swallowed by the void. They vanished into the rapids below, the river gnashing its teeth. Alone. Finally, fucking alone. The Blackthorn Estate loomed ahead, its gates twisted and rusted. Dad's kingdom was a mausoleum now, ivy choking the stone, windows shattered by neglect. I'd sworn I'd never return, but the answers were here. Buried. Rotting. The study stank of mildew and memory. Dad's desk still bore the stain where Clara had bled out after Adrian pushed her down the stairs. I traced it, my reflection warped in the dust-caked monitor. The safe behind the bookshelf hissed open, 12 to 14 Mom's birthday. Inside, a single USB drive labeled for the unworthy. I plugged it in. A video loaded. Dad's face, gaunt and pallid, filled the screen. If you're watching this, you've failed. Both of you? He coughed, a rattling death sound. The Blackthorn fortune was never yours. It belongs to her. A photo flashed, a girl maybe 19 with mom's eyes and dad's cruel smile. Your sister, Natalia. Raised in secrecy, away from your corruption. The screen died. I vomited on the rug. Marty found me in the chapel, dad's whiskey bottle in my fist, the USB drive melted with a cigar lighter. Heard about the canyon, he said, lighting a cigarette off the altar candles. Adrian? Gone. I tossed the bottle. It shattered against the Virgin Mary. There's a sister. Natalia. Find her. He raised an eyebrow. Why? I stood swaying. Because I'm going to fucking kill her. Natalia lived in a penthouse overlooking the bay, a glass prison filled with modern art and silence. I watched her through binoculars, pale, elegant, practicing cello by the window. A carbon copy of Mom. Breaking in was easy. Security was tailored for show, not war. She didn't scream when I kicked down her door. Just lowered her bow, eyes calm as a sniper's. Ethan. I aimed my pistol. You know me? Dad's favorite horror story. She smiled. The son who couldn't let go. I stepped closer. Where's the money? She stood, her silk robe slipping. You mean my money? I backhanded her. She crumpled, laughing. You're just like him, she spat. All fists, no finesse. I yanked her up by her hair. Where? She kissed me. It wasn't gentle. We fucked on the cello, strings snapping, wood splintering. Hate and hunger tasted the same. She clawed my back, drew blood, moaned dad's name. I choked her, her pulse fluttering like a caged bird. After she smoked my cigarette. The vaults in Switzerland. Passcode's your birthday. I dressed, watching her. Why? She blew smoke rings. Because Adrian's alive. And I want you to kill him properly this time. The jet was a ghost, no tail number, no crew. Natalia sat across from me, legs crossed, a dossier in her lap. He's in Bogota, she said. Rebuilding. Vegas cartel backs him now. I checked my pistol. Why help me? She leaned forward, lips grazing my ear. Because when you're done, I'll kill you. The compound was a fortress, nestled in the Andes, walls lined with skulls. Adrian's new throne. Natalia's sniper rifle glinted on the ridge. I'll clear the guards. You bring him to me? I slid through the shadows, knife in hand. The first sentry died gurgling, the second with a slit throat. Adrian waited in the courtyard, shirtless, scars mapping his body like a war chart. He spun a machete, grinning. Miss me? I charged.
Chapter 9, The Puppeteer.
The machete bit into my forearm, steel-kissing bone. Adrian's breath was rancid, his one good eye blazing with madness. We grappled in the dirt, the Andes wind howling like the ghosts of everyone we'd killed. Blood slicked the ground, ours and the cartel corpses Natalia's bullets had painted across the compound. You're dead. Adrian roared, kneeing my gut. You hear me? Dead. I headbutt him, felt his nose crumple. You first. We rolled, a tangle of teeth and blades until the shot rang out. Natalia stood above us, smoke curling from her rifle. Enough. Adrian froze, the machete at my throat. You. She lowered the gun, her smile glacial. Hello, brother.
The bitch had mom's eyes. I'd seen the photos, dad's secret treasure, locked away from his disappointments. But seeing her in the flesh, untouched by the rot that had consumed Ethan and me, it made me want to peel her face off. Daddy's little princess, I spat, rising unsteadily. Come to claim your throne. She tossed the rifle aside. I'm here to end this. Ethan staggered to his feet, clutching his bleeding arm. The money. The vault. It's hers, isn't it? Natalia laughed, sweet and venomous. The money's gone. I burned it. Ethan lunged. She sidestepped, slamming a syringe into his neck. He collapsed, twitching. And you, she said, turning to me. You're a cockroach. But even cockroaches die. I swung the machete. She caught my wrist, twisted, and dislocated my shoulder with a pop. Fuck. She knelt, her lips brushing my ear. Dad says hello.
The drug was a living thing crawling through my veins, dragging me under. I fought it, clawing at the blackness until light burst through, a sterile room, white walls, the hum of machinery. Natalia stood by a monitor, her fingers dancing over a keyboard. Rise and shine, big brother. I strained against the straps. We're safe for now. She tapped the screen. Security footage. Adrian chained to a chair, screaming as a drill bit into his kneecap. He's resilient. I'll give him that. I thrashed. Let me go. She unzipped her dress, revealing a body mapped with scars. Dad did this. Every time I failed. Every time I disappointed. Her fingers traced a jagged line along her ribs. But you? You were his greatest shame. She climbed onto the table, straddling me. He's alive, Ethan. Watching. Testing. I spit in her face, liar. She gripped my jaw, forcing a pill down my throat. See for yourself. The warehouse was a cathedral of rust and rot. Adrian hung from the ceiling, his body a canvas of wounds. Natalia dragged me inside, the drug sharpening every sensation. The stench of infection, the buzz of flies, the drip-drip of blood on concrete. A screen flickered to life. That. Not the corpse from the coffin. Not the ghost from the USB. Him, alive, smirking. Hello, boys. Adrian snarled you. Dad leaned forward, his face a web of surgical scars. You think I'd let a little thing like death stop me? I made you, I own you. Ethan lunged, but Natalia yanked his chain. Ah. Let him finish? Dad steepled his fingers. The fortune was a test. A way to weed out the weak. And you both failed? Adrian laughed, a wet, broken sound. Bullshit. You're a ghost? Dad stood, revealing a vault door behind him. Come see. The screen died. Natalia pressed a gun to my temple. Let's go.
The jet was a coffin with wings. Natalia had patched me up just enough to feel the pain, the bitch. Ethan sat across from me, eyes hollow, a puppet on her strings. She's gonna kill us, I rasped. He didn't look at me. I know. You're okay with that? He turned, his gaze colder than Dad's. As long as you die first.
The island was a speck in the Atlantic, cloaked in storms. The compound was a mirror of the estate, same Gothic spires, same rotting grandeur. Dad waited in the study, a fire roaring, a decanter of bourbon in hand. Welcome home. Natalia shoved us forward. They're all yours. Dad circled us, a shark smelling blood. Adrian and Ethan, my greatest failures. Adrian spat at his feet. Fuck you. Dad backhanded him, the ring on his finger splitting Adrian's lip. You had everything. And you squandered it on petty revenge. I lunged. Natalia tossed me, the voltage locking my joints. Dad sighed. And you? So desperate to be loved, you fucked your own sister. Natalia flinched. I laughed, blood pooling in my mouth. She enjoyed it. Dad nodded to Natalia. Show them. She pressed a button. The floor parted, revealing a glass vault, gold bars, diamonds, deeds to empires. The real fortune, Dad said. Yours if you kill each other.
The knife was in my hand before I knew it. Ethan mirrored me, his blade glinting. Dad watched from his armchair, sipping bourbon. Only one walks out. Ethan charged.
We were kids again, brawling in the mud, Dad's laughter ringing in our ears. Fight, fight. The knife tore into Adrian's side. His fist shattered my cheekbone. We fell, rolling, biting, killing. I hate you. I screamed. I loved you, he roared. The blade slipped. Is mine. A gurgle. Silence.
Ethan lay dying, Adrian's knife in his heart. Adrian knelt, gutted, clutching his brother's hand. Pathetic. I rose, nodding to Natalia. Clean it up. She aimed her pistol. No. The bullet tore through my skull before I could scream.
The vault opened with a hiss. I stepped over Dad's corpse, his blood soaking into the Persian rug. The boys' bodies cooled behind me, their faces almost peaceful. I pressed the detonator. The island erupted, fire purging the Blackthorn name to ash. Let the sharks have them. 3 months later. A woman boards a yacht in Monaco, her hair dyed red, her passport flawless. In her suitcase, a diamond as big as a fist, a USB drive of secrets, and a photo of two boys fighting in the mud. She smiles, tossing the photo into the sea. Rotten hell, brothers,